Begin the current daf. Mesechtas Becharis daf Chav Beis. Begin on the bottom of Chav Alvam Beis. 5 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. Where the Gemara continues in the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, discussing this halacha of the laws of Bechar regarding the firstborn and regarding situations of doubt regarding do we exempt the next one, assuming that it already had given birth to an animal beforehand or not. So the Mishnah describes Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. He says, "Behema gasa, large livestock, large animals, sheshefa chareres dam." That it excreted, it discharged a chunk of blood, saharetu to cover. So this chunk is buried, and it's the reason why it's buried is because it's forbidden to have benefit from it, because we suspect that maybe this was a male child which had dissolved, and it has the sanctity of the firstborn when it comes out of the womb, and therefore it has that sanctity as the firstborn, and therefore it has to be buried. And now this animal, henceforth, is exempt from the laws of the firstborn, because that glob of blood that came out, we're assuming that it was the firstborn, and therefore one does not have to go ahead now and give the next one to the kohen, because we could say that the first one was this male animal that was miscarried, but was the first one that was pet the rechem. Now, on this halacha, Tanya Rebchir taught in the Brayis to clarifying this halacha, says, "An einu mitama." However, this charara, this cake of blood, does not transmit tuma, loy b'maga v'loy b'masa, not with touching it, not with carrying it, which is generally the halacha of a nevela, of a dead animal. Here, this obvious dead, whatever it is, which we're assuming is an animal, does not have the tuma of nevela. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now is obviously because we're not concerned and thinking that it's a dissolved child. So I'm not thinking my ass. So if you're qualifying the halacha that it does not transmit to as nevela by touch or by carrying, some might take cover. So you're not assuming that it's a dead child. So then why is it buried? The whole reason why it's being buried is because we're saying that not only was it a child, it was a male, and it's kedushas b'chayr, and you can't have benefit from it, it have to be buried. But you're saying it doesn't have, it's not considered a dissolved child, and therefore it does not have tumah. So why you have to bury it? So the Gemara continues the top of Chav Beis, and Alv says, the reason why you have to bury it is kedei lefarsima, is to publicize that this mother animal sheniftera min habechira, that it's henceforth exempt from the next child that it gives birth to, that it's exempt from that one being the laws of the bechir, and that is proof from the because from the fact that we're burying that cake of blood. Oh, obviously, why are you burying it? Because you're saying, oh, that was already the first child, and therefore you have to bury it. That was the Bukhar, and now we know that the next one is that the animal, it's not that we're not doing the laws of Bukhar, it already had given birth, and that dissolved fetus, that was already the first one that was Poit Rechem, where anything that comes out first, the next animal is already not the Bukhar. So whatever it was, the halach is that dissolved child is going to exempt it. So now the Gemara asks, wait a second. If you're exempting this mother animal from the laws of Bechar, so la member de Vlad Ma'ayuhu? So is that to say that it was a child? So then we're back to the question. So Vamayin Matama Lebemag of Lebemasis, then why? Because whether it's a Bechar or not, so as we're going to explain, that you're burying it because it might have the halacha and actually doesn't. We're just burying it because we want people, because we're not really assuming that it's a male and a force, because it could be a nidma, it could be a nekeva. But you bury it so that people should know that we're keeping the laws of the firstborn, but it already had something that was already. And therefore we're burying it. And so that the Gemara says, but the thing is, you're assuming that obviously that it was a fetus, but then why does it not have tumas maga or tumas masa? So that Amar Biechani says, the reason why it does not transmit tumah is mishum bitl b'raib. It says, you're right. Obviously, if we're exempting from the laws of Bechayr, is that we're assuming that it already given birth to something, or at least suspecting. So then we should have to suspect that it has tumah of nevela. You're right, there really was something that came out. But the thing is that it's not going to transmit tumma whatever's coming out, because it's nullified in the majority that naguba, that relates to this halacha, that this flesh of the fetus is nullified, because it doesn't just come out of itself. When an animal gives birth, there's all types of bloods and mucuses and liquids that come out with it. They're the majority nullifying this aborted fetus. So you're right, it was paid to the rechem. And we bury it just so people should know there was something here before this next child, to know that we're keeping the laws of Bechar, just the next one's not the Bechar. Now, so then if it's coming out, why is there no tumah? Because it's batel b'raib and the other things that's coming out with it. And the Gemara says, Vazder b'yichin l'tameh. And b'yichin, who gave this interpretation, goes according to his reasoning. Dam b'yichin, like b'yichin had said elsewhere, he said, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, v'Reb Shimon, Amr Dabaecha, they say the same law. As the Gemara explained, Lez min Yaakov hadamarin is what we're saying in the law of our Mishnah, that we said, as was qualified by Reb Chiya and as Reb Yechon is explaining, that it's not going to have tumas ma'aga masa. Why not? So then why is it exempting from Bechayra? Oh, because although it's coming out, but it's batel b'raiv. And Reb Shimon Mahi, what's Reb Shimon who's saying the same halacha? It's not like, learn the Mishnah Masechtas Nida. Mishnah says, Hashil yibabayis. This, that if there's the amniotic sac, this afterbirth, when a woman miscarried. Now, so the sac is there, which is where the fetus is developed in, but there's no recognizable child over here. Says the Tanna Kamma, Habayis Tamei. The house that this afterbirth is going to be in, like a dead person, that we're going to say the house is going to have tumas oil. What's the reason? Says the Tanna Kamma, Loisha Shil Yevlad. It's not because the afterbirth itself as a child is like a dead person to make tumas oil. Elisha Ein Shil Yevlei Vlad. It's just because we know there's no afterbirth without having a child, a fetus being developed inside of it. It just dissolved, and therefore it's still going to go ahead and make tumah because it came out into this oil, and it's going to make tumas oil. Shimon Omer, he disagrees. He says, Vlad Nimuk Ad Shelo Yotze. He says, no, the fetus had already dissolved before it even came out from the mother. As the Gemara there explains in Masechtas Nida, that the understanding of Reb Shimon's opinion is like Reb Yechonon was saying. The reason why the house is going to be tar, what do you mean it dissolved? Who cares? But when it comes out, you have the dead fetus, is because of Bitl Barayv. And that is because it was already nullified in the majority beforehand, and therefore, just like we said that this is not going to have Tumas Maga Masa because it has Bitl Barayv, he wrote so it's not going to be Tamid the oil because it's already Bitl Barayv in the other things that it's coming out with, and therefore, it's not going to make Tumma in the oil. Now, the Gemara continues in a related discussion. Tanan Hasan. We learned within the Mishnah Maseches Nesalos. The Mishnah is discussing that a woman who her fetus died in the womb. Now, she's sitting, still this dead fetus has to come out. So she's sitting on the birthing stool, and her, what's called the kever, which which on some level is like a grave, which is where the seed goes in and then it comes out, just like a person's buried will come out, Nimeisa Mashiach and Tchiasa Mason. So that's called the kever. So once that opens up, even if the child doesn't come out, but the woman's getting ready to give birth, and then they take her to another house, that first house is going to have tumas oil as if she had given birth over there. Why? Because since there was a breached area of tumah, which is what we're calling psichas akever, because the grave is open, there's access to the fetus, although it's still in the mother's womb, the first house is going to be tumah. But on that, the Mishnah says, "Ein le nefalim psichas akever," but these aborted, miscarried fetuses don't have the halacha of an opening of the womb, ad sheyegilu roish, until their head has rounded, meaning that their head was thick enough, which therefore that opened up the uterus, the area of the woman, so that it should be accessed to it and be considered not as a concealed tumor, but actually in the oil, only if the head is kapika, like that of a whorl. Says, so my kapika, what is this kapika? So when he says, kapika shal tzemer, a whorl is some type of a wheel that's on a spinning machine, and there's many different types of them. So Rav Huna says it's like that world of that's used to make wool. And if that's as big as if that's how big the head of the uber was, which was the navel, then her area was open and therefore it's considered like it was in the oil. Now, Amalei Chiya bar Rav Rav Huna, but he said to Rav Huna, Rabbi, my teacher Parish, explain this that you say it needs to have the head as big as a pika, as that of a whorl. Is that shel shasi? Is that of the warp thread, which is thin, small? Ay shel arib, or is it that of the woof thread, which is bigger? Because that's how garments are made. Every cloth is made from horizontal and there's latitude and longitude. There's different vertical and horizontal, going in the crisscross way. So the warp is the one that's straight, and then there's the woof. The question is like what type of a whorl? Because they're different sizes. So Amalei says, Tanya, Litton the Bryce, actually, that this they disagree exactly in the question that you just asked. The first opinion says it's Pika Shel Shasi. It's the whorl of that of the warp thread. That's the Remeir. Pihudami says, Shel Erev. No, it's that of the woof thread. Now, actually, Rebbe Lazar Reb Tzadikheimer, he says, Mishiro Tfifiyais. Rebbe Lazar Reb Tzadik disagrees with the first opinions. And he says, no, that even if the head of the uber was not like that of a whorl, you can have the Lacha Psichas HaKever, if the womb opened up so much that you could see into the womb, tfifias. Says the Gemara, my tefifius, what is that? So I'm Rabbi Mishmul, Mishmul Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Tzadik, says, kachay mefarshim Yerushalayim. This is how they explained it in Yerushalayim. It's kepreda shekeras lahatl memea. It's like a mule which kneels to urinate, which it kneels more than most animals. And when it kneels, it opens up its womb very much. And you could see like these folds in its rechem, in its womb. Veneris pika mitech pika. And you could see a world within a world, which is this tfifiyis. Why is it called tfifiyis? Is because actually it's two times this word fifi, which is really the fi is from the word fika. It's a fika and a fika. It's a world within a world. That's the measurement according to Reb Elazar ben Tzadik. That's going to be considered psichas hakever, that it's as if it's in the oil, and therefore then it'll be mitame. Related discussion, Rav Huni says, Shemati shtei fikis. He says, I heard halachas regarding two types of worlds. Echas shel sasiv, echas shel erev. One of the warp, the world that's used to make the warp thread, and one to make the woof thread. Vein lefarish, but I don't know how to explain what was for what halacha. So to Kiyas Rav Dimi on Rabbi Yechanan, he says shalish pikas shemati. He says I heard three halachas regarding pikas. Echas shel sasiv, one regarding the warp thread. Vachas shel erev, and one regarding the whorl of that's used to make the woof thread. Vachas shel pika gedel shel sakon, one regarding the large whorl, that of making sack. Ve'en l'lefarsh, said, I do not explain it. However, Kiyasa Rav, when Ravin came, Pirshim Mishmeh Rabbi Yechanan, he explained it in the name of Rabbi Yechanan as follows. Shel Isha, the halacha regarding the opening of the womb of the woman, like we said, then there would be considered access there to make tum in the oil because there's dead fetus inside. Is Kishal Shasi, is like the pika, is like the whorl of that which is used to make the warp thread, which is the smaller type of the whorl. Shel Behema, regarding that of an animal, like we're saying this whole halacha, that it shouldn't be considered tumah b'lua, absorbed tumah, that regarding what applies to halacha of maga, of touching, because it's a nevela, it's a dead fetus that's inside. If the shepherd sticks his hand in and touches to take it out of the womb, it's kishal erith. Only when the head of the animal, this dead fetus inside, has its head the size of the whorl of the woof thread, only then is it considered open, because if not, even though the shepherd sticks his hand in and is touching a dead fetus, that's what's called tuma balua. It's called absorbed tuma, and it's not going to transmit tuma, as we had a mishnah that said that when you have a behema that's dead, the fetus inside its womb, then and the shepherd sticks his hand in and touches, it's going to be tuma. It's going to be tar, as the Gemara says, the chum daf ayin mebeis. So to be considered tuma, like as if it's not in the womb anymore, it's not tuma balua, it's only if it's open the size of that wall. And pika gedel shel zakan, what's the halacha relating to the large whorl of that of the sacks? It's kitnan, like learn the Mishnah. Gush, if there's a clump of earth, habal mebeis apras, that comes either from a beis apras, which is an area that there was a grave that was dug over, and now the bones are spread throughout, and there's a rabbinic tumah on that earth, or me'eretz ha'amim, or if there's a clump of earth from the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael, which also have rabbinic tumah on them. So shi'uri, its measurement to transmit tumah, which Rashi actually says even the oil, that one would have to then burn truma kachim because it's considered now that it became tummy, is kepika gedel l'shel sakoin. That's where the measurement is regarding if it has the large wall of that's used to make the sacks, which is a more thicker thread, shukachesim ha-martzufin, which that is like the seal of martzufin, which are these large sacks made out of reed, which they would close it. When they would close it, they would seal it. Now, v'yeshnoi, now that seal is b'tzada elyon shel magufa sachava salachmis, on the upper part of that seal of the flasks, which are halachmis, meaning that are made in beis lechem, meaning of those coverings which they make for these earthenware barrels, which these closings on the top, they were wide on the bottom, which to be used to close the barrel, and then they narrowed on the top so that one could hold it with one's hand. That part which narrows towards the top, that's called the Tzara Elyon, that's where there was the seal. That seal was this same size of the Pika Gedilah Shel Sakon, and that's where the measurement was said regarding this halacha of the that it's going to have the tumah of the gush, abom beis apras, me'eretz ha'amim. What's that measurement? How much earth is this measurement of the large whorl of that's used to make the sacks? Now, relating back to the halacha of our Mishnah, which will actually be on the next daf, Amr Shlakish Mishum Yehuda Nesiyah. He enters the following discussion. It says, if someone purchases fish brine from an Amma Aretz, from an ignoramus, which was used as a dip in Talmudic times, so So what he does is that he kisses it, that's the literal definition, in water, with hashaka is a way of purifying that liquid, because maybe, since one's buying it from Amma Aretz, we assume them to be tummy, so maybe this fish brine became tummy from the Amma Aretz touching it. So you could do hashaka in the water of a mikvah, vitar, and now this fish brine will be tar, either way you look at it, because most definitely the fish brine, which is like this, the juices that come out of the fish, there's most definitely the water that's mixed into making that fish brine dip. Now, either way you look at it, this water is going, the fish brine is going to be okay now, if you do hashaka. Why? If the water is the majority of that fish brine that you're purchasing from him, and therefore whatever fish brine there is nullified in the majority, and we qualify this thing as its majority, which is water. Now, so okay, now it could become tame, this water, because water could become tame from the Amma Aretz is touching it. But tame water, you could do hashaka, which is like we said, you put the vessel that's holding that fish brine or whatever the water is in the mikvah until the waters of the mikvah pass over the top of that vessel. And now it's kissing with the waters that's in the vessel. Now, although generally the halacha is that food items and liquids cannot be purified in the mikvah, but water is different because water is like considered like as if it's part of the waters of the mikvah because they're both waters, and the hashaka is going to work if this is majority water. We consider it as water. So kibin da'avad lu hashaka tarilu. So once you do hashaka, you purify this fish brine, and it's like the halacha that is by food items, which is when you replant it, and then you could take it out, then it's not going to be tame anymore, because planting purifies it from its tumah, as the Mishnah says in Trumas, that when you have these things of truma, that if they were tame and then you replant them, then they become tar hero. So it's like it rejuvenated, like a new thing. It became a part of the waters of the mikvah, and it's going to be tar. Now, continues Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Ve'iru b'tzirnenu, and even if the majority of it is not the water, it's the fish brine, so tzirloi bar kibuli tumahu. So fish brine is not something that could even become tummy in the first place, because it's just sweat that comes out of the fish when you salt it. So it's not a liquid that would be considered something that could become, considered a beverage that could become tummy. And therefore, mayika. So what would be the problem with this fish brine? Mishum hanach mi'utu de maya. So what would you say? Okay, you're right. Fish brine cannot become tame, but there's still a little bit of water that's mixed into the fish brine, which could become tame. And moreover, the hashaka is not going to work for it, because since the majority is the fish brine, so we can qualify it like a food item, meaning not like a liquid, and a food item hashaka doesn't work. Says the Gemara, no, hanach batl hu beruba. That little bit amount of water, we don't consider it as if it's even extant at all. We consider it nullified in the majority, and it's like only brine. And like we said, the brine cannot become tummy, so therefore, either way you look at it, if you do hashaka with this fish brine, you're not going to have a problem with it being considered tummy. Now, however, on this halacha, Amar Bimri, he qualified and he says, lo yishana, we didn't learn that it's going to be nullified in the majority, and that the fish brine is going to be permitted. And the litvul behen pita. Only if you want to use the fish brine to dip your bread into it. But to go ahead and use it for cooking in the pot, then that cannot be done. Because what's going to happen is that the water that's inside the brine will find the water in the pot, because when you're cooking, there's generally waters in there too. Then they're going to combine together and join forces. Then they're going to gang up on the fish brine, and because they're going to be now not the minority anymore. And they're going to make that tameh, and now you are going to have the tameh fish brine, which will be back to the problem, because what's called halacha matzah minas minay v'neir, that one species finds its same species, and it reawakens it from not being nullified anymore, and then it'll come back to the fact that it is tameh, because it's not the minaret anymore. And the water, we said, could become tameh. So therefore, you could use the fish brine, because okay, hashaka will work if the majority of it was water, but if it's the minority water, the only way that's working is because it's the minority. But if you're going to use it for cooking, it's not going to be the minority anymore, and then it's tumah that it got, because it was touched by that moment, it would come back, and therefore it's going to be a problem of tumah, so you can't use it for cooking, you could only use it for dipping your bread. Now, Yasser Rav Dimi become a Losh Maitza. Rav Dimi was sitting, he was saying over this teaching of Rav Yirmiya, who qualified it, that you could only use it for dipping and not for cooking. And normally Abaye said to him, well, v'chi tumah shabat l'chazav ne'ur, he says, what do you mean? Tumah that was nullified, because even if you say the water became tummy, but we said it's nullifying the majority of the brine, what? Why can't you cook it in the pot? You think it's going to get the tummy that wasn't there anymore is going to come back and get reawakened when it gets cooked in a pot with water, and now it's back water because it's not minority anymore, it's going to become tummy back again? So Amalei, So that Rav Dimi said to him, "Vadli Tizbro, and you don't hold of this logic?" But Vatznan, we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Trumas that says as follows: Sa Truma Tameya. Sa is a measurement of Truma that became Tame. So there's two elements over here. It's Truma, which is forbidden for a non-Kahanim, and it's also Tame, which even for Kahanim, the Kahan cannot eat it if it's Tame. Now, Shanafla, this Sa of Truma that's Tame fell into, as we continue Tamed Beis, Lameya Chulin Tyron, into 100 of unconsecrated pure produce, which, as Rashi points out, were not hochshu lekabel tumah yet, meaning they didn't come in contact with liquids, and therefore, when the truma that's tumah fell onto them, it didn't make them tumah when it fell onto it, because they're not susceptible to tumah. Now, moreover, when you have the laws of bitla of truma, 100 to 1 is the nullification procedure of chulin to truma. So it really becomes nullified in the mixture of chulin. So it's not Truma, and it's not Tame, because we don't view it as its extant at all. We view it as nullified in the majority, in which in the laws of Truma is 100 to 1. Now, in practicality, Rabbi Yezim, he says as follows. What you do is Terim. You elevate from that mixture one Sa, Vitirkev, and you let that one Sa rot, as is the halacha of Truma that became Tame, because you can't use it, because even the Kain who could eat Truma can't eat it when it's Tame. Now, Sidra Blazer, why do you do this? Says Shani Armor, because I say, he saw Shanafla, this sod that we're taking out, we're saying it's the sod that fell in, he saw Shalsa, that's the sod that we're taking out. So therefore, we're presuming that it's the truma that was tame. Now, truma that's tame is forbidden to be eaten. So therefore, that one that you take out, that's going to be the one that you just let it rot. Now, Achamim, they disagree. They say, no. Tala, yes, it's going to be nullified, because as we said, there's a 100 to 1 ratio. Now, moreover, v'tiyachal, you could eat all of that, even that one sa, which is nullified somewhere in there, you could eat it with the chulin. Because the whole reason why you take out one sa is actually to give that monetary value to the kayin, and therefore you take out a sa, and actually he says the kayin could eat it, because it's not truma tameya. We don't assume that's in there, we say it's nullified. It's not truma, it's not tame anymore. You take out one sa to give to the kayin, because ultimately you don't want to steal from the kayin, because there is somewhere in over here his sa of truma. So, however, this mixture itself, you could eat it, but you have to eat it nikudim, either dry. Now, the reason why you have to eat it dry is because, like we said, now you have over here one sa of truma tame, and everything else is tar. Now, we're not going to have that one sa that's tame make the rest that's tar tame, because they were never susceptible to tame, because they were never hochshur, they never came in contact with a liquid. And we said, moreover, the tame is nullified in the tahar. So therefore, we don't want to make them susceptible to that tama. So we eat it dry, like kalayis or roasted hiroso, that if you're doing it roasted, it's not becoming susceptible, and therefore cannot be mekabel tama. Like tilish b'mei peris, or you knead them, even if you want to make it liquidy, so you do it, you knead it with fruit juices, like apple juice or mulberry juices, where mei peris are not makshir, those fruit juices are not considered liquids to make a food I'm susceptible to tama. Oh, or even say the chacham to schalikal isis. You could even divide it to doughs, meaning you could mix it with water. As long as you're in one place, as Tais explains, like an egg size of the truma. You divide it in a type of a way that you're not going to have the possibility of having the measurement of that truma tame in there, because then you would have the tame foods. So you either make it never that it's susceptible by having it totally dry, or even if you're going to do it that it'll be wet, but not to have the possibility of having that tumma that could have the measurement of being metame in one area. Now, Batani Allah, we learned in the Brice regarding that Mishnah, that Eisen Chulin, so that Chulin, that 100 that was the Chulin Tahirin, that we said according to Rabbanon, they said that whole mixture, whether the Chulin part, whether the Truma part that we just quoted, they said, okay, they said everything's really part of this. What you take out to give to the kohen, that's not the one that fell in. That's just, okay, monetarily. But everything here is mixed in. So they say you have to eat it dry or roasted. You got to make sure that they don't become susceptible to the tumma of the, ultimately, there is something tumma over here. We don't want it to contaminate the other things over here. Now, but as we continue to talk about Chavikim L'manav, L'Reb Eliezer, but according to Reb Eliezer, he said, oh, he says, Sha'ani Oim, he says, oh, I say the one we're taking out is the one that fell in. So the question is, Matei Alehen, according to him, what do we say now regarding the rest of that mixture? Do we say that now it's like totally tar? Because what's the problem? Why can't you make it with liquids? The one that was the problem one, was the one we took out. So it's not here anymore. So you should be able to make it with liquids. And that says the Braisa, then no. Yochel and the Kudin, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, you have to eat it dry, or klayas, or roasted, or yeloshim and meperis, or you have to knead it with fruit juices, or tischak le'isis, or you could divide it with those, ubavachalei kebeya b'makamecha, as long as you don't have one kebeya of the truma tamei in one place, you got to divide it in 101 different ways that it's not going to have that measurement of the truma tamei in there. Now, Vama Ula, he says, matam. But what's the reason? Why don't we consider it as bona fide regular chulin that's tahar? Since according to Rabbi Elazar, he says that's totally nullified. He says shani yom. He says you took that out already. The truma that was tamei is out. What's the problem? So that's an ula. It's a gezeira. It's a rabbinic decree. You're right. It's regarding something else. If we're going to consider this mixture as totally tahar, so we're going to be concerned as follows: that if this person happens to have a kav, which is a measurement of other chulin, which is tummy. Now, since he sees that, truma tummy fell in, and still, okay, we're considering it bottle, and we're able to use this mixture as if it's totally tar. So we're concerned that shema yavi kav chulin tamein mimakam acher. Maybe he's going to bring a kav of other chulin, but it's tummy from somewhere else, and he's going to mix it into v'kav v'oid miminze. He'll take off from this whole mixture of chulin, he'll take off just enough to have a majority, because he sees majorities work to nullify the laws of tuma. He'll take a little bit more than the kav from this type, which is tar. And savor, he's going to think, oh, ivatlinu, I'm going to nullify this first kav, which is this other chulin tame from somewhere else that he's bringing, beruba, in the majority of this, which has a little bit more than the kav. And it's a majority. Now, the problem is, but the key in the ikka, but since in this kava'id, from this big mixture, that he's taking a little bit more than the kav, you have haimashahu, you have that little bit, that 1/100th of that which is tame, like we said, from the truma that was tame that fell in over there, that we had nullified. Yeah, it was nullified. The problem is, however, now, matzamin, the species, which is this first one that's tame, is going to find esmina, its same species, the second one that's tameh, v'neir, and it's going to waken it up from the laws of pure, being pure, because it's going to combine with this one, and now it's going to be 50-50, and it's not going to be nullified anymore. So because of that, says Ula, that's why even Eliezer, who said that, yeah, really, it's all tar, and you should be able to mix it with liquid. No, we don't want to do that, because we don't want people to think that, hey, I could just go ahead and nullify, and if he's going to do that, he might come to bring a kav of tameh, and mix it in the kav of this one that's tar, but the problem is, then there's a little bit over here that might be reawakened, and then you're not going to have a majority anymore, and it might be a kav, or even the majority of the tummy one, and then it's not going to be nullified, and it will be tummy, which will be a problem, whatever the interpretation of the sugi is, let's say chulin, that those who learn in Shitas Rashi that you're not allowed to eat chulin that's tummy. But the point that's being brought over here of Rav Dimi is that, what do you see from over here? That even the tummy that was nullified, it's chayziv in air, it does get reawakened from being tar. And therefore, he says, he answers the bias question, yes, you see this concept that it is chayziv in air, and therefore the halacha is correct, that I said over, that you could only dip the bread into the brine, but you can't put it in the pot because it's going to be chayziv in air. Which Omalei Abai said to him, no. In Tumay Reres Tumay, you're right, what you're bringing from over here, if something that's Tumay could reawaken something else that was Tumay, I understand that. I know why you can't go ahead and have the Kav with the Kav Va'id, because that Truma was Tumay. And now it's meeting something else that's Tumay, so the Tumay could be Ma'ur the Tumay. But Tahara Reres Tumay, how could something that's pure awaken something that was Tumay? In other words, the water in the pot that you're cooking the fish brine in is tar. How could that go reawaken the water in the brine to say that it's going to make it tameh, which is to reawaken its old tuma? And therefore, that's why he disagrees. He says, although he was comparing, water's not going to be the minority anymore, it's not going to be bottled into the brine, and it's reawakened, so it's back water, and water could be tummy. And that's a by no, because, what do you mean, it's not water reawakening water, it's not just the fact that it's water that was tummy. You can't have water that's tar of this pot that's going to reawaken the water of tuma to say that it's back in the state of tuma. Yes, if something that's tummy could reawaken something that's tummy, but tar cannot reawaken the tummy, and therefore he disagreed, and therefore he was asking on this halacha, how could it be? Why would it be a problem of putting in the pot? It shouldn't be a problem putting in the pot, just like you go ahead and have it by dipping your bread inside of it, because even if tuma could be ma'ariv tuma, but tahara should not be able to be ma'ariv the tuma.